So I'm hoping that things will work. It looks like it's going to work here okay. And awesome. You guys in the back are awesome. This is what we went to. This is where the family lived in. This is their house. This is their dwelling. And when we left, that's what they had. Now, and that's the family. Un, deux, trois, quatre, cinq, six, sept, huit, neuf. Look at how many people lived in that little place. And it's your prayers and your financial support that helped us go down there to do that. Now, that's what it looked like inside. All of those children, the mom and dad, lived inside of there. I don't see any mattress on the wood benches, do you? And three of those children were, Ian, what were they? I can't say the word. Autistic. Okay, right. That's what they were. And I think that's two of them there. I don't know if they came out very often. And as you can see, it was quite an interesting thing. Now, where do they live now? There. Maybe. From there to there. And there's the mom and dad's. Now, what we did, thanks to your prayers and so on, we did a little bit of everything. And it was sometimes plastering, sometimes taping, sometimes, you know, there's an expression in Spanish. Ian was as happy as a monkey with two tails when he got that chop saw, because that meant wood. And he was so happy, and he did such a quick, fast, professional job. But he was pretty good with a shovel too, you know, for an old guy. And you can see from him after working in the sun for 4, 5, 6, 7 hours. I worked in the shade with a little bzzz, 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 and I had a lot of fun. But we enjoyed it, and we certainly appreciate your prayers. And of course, at the time that we had coffee break, no coffee breaks at all, just a half hour for lunch break. And so Ian and I were going to go on strike, but they wouldn't let us. And sometimes when Ian was working hard on the field, I just went out. This is, for instance, a time I went to a local school. I went and saw the director. I said, "Hola, ¿qué tal? ¿Cómo está usted? Me llamo Ronaldo." I said, "Can I come and give tracts to all of the children?" And we gave out tracts, and we gave out some shirts to the people in the neighborhood, and we told them about Jesus, and we gave out hundreds of tracts. Of course, I taught the young people how to play tejo. Sometimes we played soccer with them. Sometimes we play tejo, which is an Argentine game. Sometimes we just enjoyed them. I even helped a guy get a goat in the car. How many of you have had goats in your car? And you can see that little goat there. It's a sick goat, poor goat. And so he was taken to somewhere. I wanted to put him on the barbecue, but he said, "No, no, no." Then, in the afternoon, I had the privilege of going to a Casa Esperanza. That means the House of Hope. This is for battered women. There's 8 or 9 battered women that was in this, and we had DVBS. And we taught them every day DVBS, and we had a wonderful time of just telling about 27 children. And Ian helped giving out food sometimes because we had refreshments. Ian taught us sign language, and the people just loved that. They learned Argentine Spanish, and they learned sign language. So we had a great time speaking and telling them about, and that's the group. So thanks for your prayers. Really, you were a part of it, 100%. Now today, it's my privilege to open up a new subject on Acts. This is the verses that have been allotted to me. You can see if Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, and it's pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting. Acts of the Apostles. And the title that has been given to me is The Father's Promise. God the Father gave us a regalo, a gift, and that was the Holy Spirit. And that's pretty exciting. We have a person inside of us. His name is the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, or he's the Spirit of God in our lives. Now, in the Bible, of course, as you all know, there's 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. And as you know, there's 66 books, 40 different writers, over 1,500 years, over 1,000 events, 10,000 events, one story, unity in theme, No contradictions, 40 writers, 15 centuries, yet one Arthur. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit of God. Now, if you're going to get anything out of this study this month, and I would like to encourage you, you get out of life what you put in it. That's simple. And if we come Sunday morning with our iPads or our Bibles, and we come in and we just sit down in the pew and listen to the speaker and maybe nod a couple times and maybe a little bit of an amen and go home, we ain't going to get anything. We ain't going to get anything. We aren't going to get anything. We have to put into it. If you are serious about changing your life, you're going to have to get into the Bible. You need to read it, study it, memorize it, meditate it, and apply it. And that goes for Acts. This is such an interesting book. What you put into life is what you get out of it. What you put into this study of Acts, outside of these four walls, you're going to get a lot out of it. We've got to be like not like a dentist who gets into your mouth and pulls out all that garbage, those rotten teeth, but we've got to be like miners. And we've got to start drilling and getting the gold and the silver and the precious metals out of Acts. When the subject was given to me, I hadn't spoken in Acts for years, and I was blank. It was written probably from 29 to 63 Acts, and it's Luke and Acts go together, so if you get a chance, I had the privilege of reading it in Mexico over and over a couple times. Luke and Acts, Acts and Luke and Acts, they go together, and we believe that according to most of the commentaries and by the style that Luke was the writer. We believe that Luke wrote Luke, of course, Dr. Luke, and there's many evidences of that. Now, Luke was the writer, and the theme verse is, as Gloria said, you will receive power, power, power! When the Holy Spirit has come unto you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Yes? Now the outline is, of course, chapter 1 to 7 was in Jerusalem, and then they spread out to Judea and Samaria, chapter 8 to 12, and then to the other parts of the world, 13 to 28. Promise of the Holy Spirit. Let's read it. Open up your Bibles, please. We're going to read just the first five verses. Follow along in your Bible. Those that might not have a Bible or rather look up here, you can. But it's really better to get in your own Bible so you can read it and get a more sense of it. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised." As I told you before, John baptized with water. But in a few days, you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Five verses. Five verses. That's all we've got today. We're going to talk about to do and teach. Notice it's underlined. Then we're going to talk about his chosen apostles. And then we're going to talk about the apostles again in another form. Then we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. And then we're going to talk about a subject I don't like, and that is do not leave Jerusalem. Wait. Wait. So I have five verses, and usually I just have three subjects, 3 points, application, introduction, but today we've got five. And the first one is walk the talk. That's what we're going to be talking about. That's what this verse says. We are to walk the talk. And then we're going to see in the Bible that you've been chosen. Each one of you who have Jesus Christ in your heart, you have been chosen of God. This is a book so practical that I can't believe it's so practical. Because when I started in it, I had nada, rien, nothing. But as I read it, and then we are sent. Each one of you are sent. Now, you're not sent to Mexico like Ian and I were sent. You maybe not be sent like we were to Argentina or Quebec. But God has sent you into your neighborhood, into your Jerusalem, into your Judea. Then we're going to talk about the kingdom. We're kingdom builders. You are part of God's plan of building his kingdom. And the verses I don't really appreciate because it's so hard for me to wait. But are you ready? Are you ready to go? We've got time. Here we go. Now, first thing. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and to teach. This is the opening in the Bible there. You got it there? Look in your Bibles. There we go, Acts chapter 1. And might be a little different in the version that you're reading, but that's what he's saying. He's saying right there, in my first book, Jesus began to do and to teach. This is a continuation of Luke. And Luke takes us through the life of Christ. But now, Jesus is working in a different way. Jesus is beginning to do and to teach. It's a very important statement. It's dividing the work of God into two branches. One embraces his work on earth, and the other his sequence of that work in heaven. Jesus is working today. Yes! You don't see him maybe physically, but Jesus is working today. He is working through you and through me. That's what he wants. And as I put there on the right side, Christ has no body on earth but yours. No hands but yours. No feet but yours. You are the eyes through which Christ's compassion for the world is to look out. See, Jesus wasn't physically beside us in Mexico, but the people saw the love that we had, and you know, there you can still hug and kiss children. And they'd run up to you. Some of them, mainly those ones in that home for Casa Mi Esperanza, they have no fathers. Those fathers beat up their mothers. So they'd come up to us, and you should see Ian. He bends way down. Ooh, he's a tall fella, Ian. And he goes down and he just hugs those kids. Here we do that, we'd go into prison. We are the hands, we are the feet. You are the feet with which he is to go about doing good, and yours are the hands which he is to bless us now. So this is practical. This book is so practical that you can see that in here. Then we find also that F.F. Bruce says, as the gospel tells us what Jesus began to do and teach, so Acts tells what he continued to do and teach by his Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you. I have the Holy Spirit in me. Woo! We have that person in us to animate us, to help us, to encourage us, to push us forward. And when we went to do our shopping, I left the group and I started to put tracks on windows of people. I got busted by the police, but that's okay. I'm here today. They told me I couldn't do that. I said, disculpa me. I didn't know. He said, don't worry about it, bro. He says, just do it. But I did give 100 out anyway. But this is the word of God. Jesus could evangelize this world just like that. He doesn't need Wi-Fi. He doesn't need the internet. He doesn't need Facebook or Twitter or any of these things. He could do it, but he has chosen to use you and I. And the problem today, why it isn't being, is we're not there doing what we might supposed to be doing. I mean, we go down to Mexico, there's these good-looking Americans, white shirt, short sleeve, black tie, a little badge here, walking all over the place. We left at 7 o'clock in the morning yesterday from where we were, and on every street corner there's a man and a woman with Awake magazines. Where are we? who have the truth. So here in this chapter, we are to do what God has told us to do. We are to walk the talk, to do and to teach. One's teaching is measured by what one does. That's why we had success this week, because we practice what we preach. We did something physically, manually for this family and the whole neighborhood. When we went shopping, and I talked to people, and I told them what we're doing, he said, "Oh, that's wonderful." I said, "Yeah, we're doing it for Jesus." "What?" I said, "Yeah, we're doing it for Jesus. Jesus loves us so much that we want to be a blessing to other people here in Mexico." And, you know, they're just, and they took the track, and they said, "Ah, muchísimas gracias, Che." Well, they didn't say Che. So what do you keep? No, so I put here in Luke chapter 6, 46, "So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say?" God's telling us to walk the talk. It's so easy to talk, but to walk the talk, it's a different thing. But that's what this first thing is. Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." And Jesus' work was to do the will of the Father and to glorify the Father. And we are to do the same thing. This neighborhood needs Jesus. And I'm glad that Song and his wife has done a lot of it, and many of you have given out tracts in this neighborhood. Now we're having a barbecue next week. Let's just try to maybe ask a few people. Just come back on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. Just say, "You speak the language. I speak the language. We're having a barbecue over at the church there. Would you like to come? 12 o'clock. God bless you. See you there, bro." And just go around and talk to people. Maybe not so loud. Maybe not so boisterous. Maybe you're not a loudmouth like I am. But in your own sweet way, take a tract and say, "Hey," and we've got them in the back, Gospels of John. Give them a tract and say, "Hey, you are invited. It's a free lunch." And let's try to get people out. Let's try to get people out. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Father, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." And they'll only come to the knowledge of truth through your witness to them. So is this practical? This is practical. But as soon as you get into the book of Acts, you find the followers of Jesus are not only bold, they are downright courageous. Something dramatic has happened to them. Before, they were chickens. They were wishy-washy vegetables. They were hiding all the time from everybody. And they were hiding in the houses. And they were, I was going to say something. I said it in Spanish, and it was a bad word in Mexican Spanish, so I won't say it here. It might be a bad word too. I don't know. But anyway, they were very, very shy about going out, and they were hiding behind doors. Remember when Peter knocked at the door, and the woman came to the door, the girl came to the door, and she went back? People were afraid to open up the doors. But after they got the Holy Spirit, after the resurrection, wow, they were bold for Jesus. And we have the resurrection. We know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We know that we have the Holy Spirit. We should be transformed. And if you speak any other languages, use those languages for Jesus. We can fill this chapel. I really believe we can. If we get out of these four walls, I'm convinced we can fill this chapel. That's the will of the Lord. I don't even have to pray about it in the sense that we know that what we should do. Until the day he was taken up to heaven, after divine giving his chosen apostle further instructions through the Holy Spirit. The ascension of Jesus is where Luke's first book closes and Acts opens. Acts started, as we shall see later, with the ascension and the fact that Jesus was exalted to God's right hand. After seeing these, he was taken up into the clouds. So Jesus isn't here now, but he's in here. He's here through us. Keep calm. You have been chosen. You've been selected. You have been set apart. You have been chosen. Where do I get that from the Bible? I get it from right here, from our verses that we're looking at. Look at the verses there. Acts chapter 1, it goes on to say, why do I say that? Because here's what it says in Acts chapter 1. Until the day in which he was taken up after that he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments unto the apostle whom he had chosen. Apostles. Apostles means sent one. Now, we are all, in a sense, apostles, which means we're not apostles as the Bible refers to apostle in the sense that we've seen Jesus, but spiritually, we have seen Jesus. Spiritually, we are apostles. Spiritually, we are set apart. Spiritually, we have been chosen, because that's what the word apostles means. Sent one, chosen one. God has chosen you and I, as we see in Acts of the Apostles, that he has chosen us to be his hands, to be his feet, to be his mouth, to be his eyes. And as we take care of people in this neighborhood, notice this. The Greek word messenger, apostles, means messenger. It conveys the idea of being sent forth. We have been chosen. We are messengers of Jesus. Called and chosen. Being chosen, elected, or picked out is associated with the idea of being called. So we get from this verse that we are called of God to go out, to go to your family, to go to your friends, to go to your neighborhood, to go to your city of Vancouver, Burnaby, New Westminster, wherever you live, North Vancouver, Whatever. Are we willing to do that? That's what the Bible says here. We are been chosen of God. Acts says it this way. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Ghost to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. Power from the Holy Spirit. Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit. His apostle will receive similar authority by the same means. And there's our verse. And as Gloria said, when we got married, this was our theme verse. And because of you people at Cascades 50 years ago, we went to Union Gospel Mission, Central City Mission, Harbor Light Mission. How many times I stood on the corner of Cordoba downtown preaching Jesus, neighborhood. That was our Jerusalem, my family, not Christians. Gloria singing at Salvation Army on the television, radio. And then the Lord led us from here. He led us to the whole province, Prince George, Prince Rupert. And then the Lord led us to our Jerusalem, our Samaria, which was Quebec. And then the other posts. Now, God wants you to start here in your own Jerusalem. It was Christ's resurrection. Luke's first book describes the resurrection of Jesus from the death, and some of his appearance are recorded in Luke 24. The resurrection of Christ was confirmed convincingly on many, many occasions. So you are the sent ones. You make the church what it is. Are you willing to be sent? Are you willing to come out of your comfort zone? I still shake. When I stand on the corners in the schools and the kids come out of the schools and I give them the Bibles and they tell me where to go, how to get there in the quickest way possible, I just tell them I'm not going there. I'm going to heaven. I ain't going to hell. I like to read this. Sometimes they rip it up. Sometimes in other countries they've spit in my face. Sometimes they've told me things that are not too nice, you know. It's not my comfort zone, even though you might think it is. So let's get out of our comfort zone. And when you're pushing that buggy at the Safeway, oh, hi, how are you? Oh, isn't that cute little baby? Oh, yeah. Hey, we're having a barbecue. Yeah, yeah. Sent ones. We are the sent ones of God. And notice some of those names up there. You have been sent. I might not have all of your names there, but Song, you've been sent and you've gone. God bless you. Keep it up. Ian, Jonathan, Beth. I mean, there's just all of us have been sent. And I could go on. And Marcia today is up at Anvil Island. She's been sent one. After he suffered and died, do you have the passion of seeing men and women, boys and girls, come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what Acts is all about. Because they started in Jerusalem, as we said, and then poof, they went out. Out to Judea, Samaria, and then they went to Italy and all the other countries. We are to do the same thing. We are to do the same thing. You know, we're kingdom builders. Notice what it says in these verses here. Notice that. Follow along there. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. We are kingdom builders. Now, they didn't understand there. Many of those people thought that Jesus was going to set his kingdom up right there. He was going to wipe out the Romans. He was going to take over, and they were going to have their kingdom there on earth. But you are a kingdom builder. Spiritually, you are a kingdom builder, working for the kingdom. God wants you and I to realize that. It's a spiritual, it's not political. Let's look at the spiritual aspect of the kingdom. First it was to the Jews, and then to the Gentiles. Sometimes when I'm preaching in other countries, they say, oh, that's they use the word, not politically correct, but they would say, yeah, that's a white man's religion, or that's the American way of doing it. No, it's not a political thing. It's a spiritual thing. Jesus loves, one of the verses that we had to actually preach on at the children's meetings last week was, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And the world has come to us. And the world is here, Filipinos, Orientals. They're all, praise God, let's tell them about Jesus. That's what Acts is all about. It's encouraging you and I to go out from our homes to talk about the kingdom. The disciples still showed some confusion about the kingdom of God. As we shall see in the second chapter of Acts, Jesus sat on the throne of David in a way that the apostles did not fully understand. But we understand because we have the full revelation of God. We know that he's talking not about an earthly kingdom, he's talking about a heavenly kingdom. We have no reason to be ignorant. They, in a sense, even though they were with Jesus for 3 years, even though Jesus told them over and over and over, but it was after the resurrection, it was after the Holy Spirit came unto them that they got that boldness. The disciples were told to return to Jerusalem and wait there. Wait. Wait on the Lord. Requires patience. Wait on the Lord reminds us that God is in control. Waiting on the Lord allows God to do his work. Waiting on God increases our strength. Yes, wait on the Lord. Once he was eating with them, commanded, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift of the promise I have told you before. Wait. Wait upon the Lord. They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait on the Lord requires trust. Trust and obey. That's the only way. That's the only way. And if we wait on the Lord the way he tells us to, then our trust. It says in the Bible, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So more you hear the word of God, more you study the word of God. When you go home today, check out what I'm saying. And if I've made any errors, tell me. If there's things you don't understand, call me 24/7. I'm there for you. Trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And as we wait on the Lord, which I have problem with, of course, I'm a mover, I'm a groover. I'm putting down, a lot of people don't pick it up. But what we have to do is wait. So I'm preaching something to myself more so than anything else. Wait on the Lord. Wait on God reminds us that God is in control. We want to be in control of everything, don't we? We want instant potatoes, instant this, instant that. But if we realize that God is in control, then we'll wait on him. And we won't just do our own thing. And we're having prayer meetings all of September, and we're going to wait on the Lord. All of September, we're having prayer meetings at 7 o'clock. Right? 7 to 9. Pop in. You can't stay for 2 hours. That's okay. Pop in. Come down. You don't have to kneel down because I can't kneel down. But just come in and pray. And we'll wait on the Lord and say, what has he got? We have a tremendous, tremendous leadership here, both elders, deacons, and the pastor. I mean, we've got a quality people. And they're waiting on the Lord, and they want us to wait on the Lord. And as we wait on the Lord together, and you suggest to them, and they suggest to you, and we work together, we realize that God is in control, so we have to wait upon the Lord. Wait on the Lord allows God to do his work. I have made so many mistakes waiting on the Lord. My son taught me an expression. Humanly speaking, I like it, but spiritually it's not too good. You know, he said, it's much easier to ask forgiveness than permission. That's what Daniel teaches me. But spiritually, no. Let's wait on the Lord. Let's wait on the Lord. And he will renew our strength. He will. Waiting on the Lord increases my strength. As I read the Word of God and I say, wow, thank you, Lord. Like, I wasn't going to go to Mexico. I mean, I'm 73 years old. I know I don't look it. I look 53, but that's okay. You don't have to keep saying that. But, you know, I'm 73 years old, and picking up those bags, not alone, but with other people, and going up and down that ladder, I did sometimes. I did 12,000, 15,000, 20,000 steps a day. My feet were burning, but I had waited on the Lord before I went, and he showed me I should go. And the conclusion to all this. What is the conclusion? God is the great worker. God is the mover. We are to work. We are to wait impatiently, and God will come through. But he wants you and I to be willing to take that step of faith. Poof. And when we come to the edge, he'll show us. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. We thank you for these 3, 4, 5 points, Heavenly Father. And Heavenly Father, we just ask that you will help us to walk the talk. Help us, Heavenly Father, to wait. Help us, Father, to realize that you are in control. Help us, Heavenly Father, to realize the disciples came out in boldness after your resurrection, after they received the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you that we have the Holy Spirit. We have seen that Christ rose again. He showed himself to 5,000. Father, we understand all that. We have no excuse like the disciples were unaware of what was going on. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that this week that we can take time to read and reread Luke and Acts, Acts and Luke, Luke and Acts, Acts and Luke. Help us, Heavenly Father. So when we come back next week, we'll be more aware of what Acts is about. Thank you for this gorgeous day. Help us to invite our friends for next Sunday's barbecue. Help us, Heavenly Father. Guide us, direct us, use us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, while you're reading Acts this week, and you come, God speaks to you, and it's something that really speaks to you, phone me up. Say, Ron, why don't you include this in your message? Because this message is your message. It's Cascade's message. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will talk to you different than he talks to me. And sometimes this passage from chapter 1, verses 6 to 12 will say something different to you than to me. And I might be blessed. And maybe the chapel, the people of God will be blessed. So give me a call this week. I'm in the phone book. Blessings.